Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on the power of faith-filled words was recorded at the 2011 Grace and Faith Conference in the UK and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
He woke up with a cold and this rasp in his voice. You could hear him breathing in the next room. It was really bad. And so I got up and I'd pray over him in tongues and rebuke this and he'd be fine. And I put him down and within 30 minutes or an hour, he'd be back up with this thing. And I did that for two or three times, up and down. And the lights were off while I was doing this, but everybody in the room could hear me praying over him. And so the last time I prayed over him and he was okay, he was breathing okay, I put him back down. I was headed to my bed and the lights were off and my mother just said, "Admit it, Andy, he's sick." And you know, I'm not saying that you have to do things the way I did. Hopefully you are more mature than I was, but you know what? What you've got to do the same thing I did, maybe with more tact. But even though it was dark, I got right down in my mother's face and I said, "Satan, in the name of Jesus, I break your curse. I command this stuff to stop. I will not receive your death spoken over my child." And I told the devil where to go. And did you know that Joshua never woke up again during the night, never had a cold, never had a cough anymore. It was over. And on 6 days of vacation, my mother never spoke to me. And finally, I just said, "Say something." And she says, "I'm sorry, you think I'm the devil." And I told her, I said, "Mother, I don't think you're the..." It's the same thing that Jesus did with Peter when he said, "Satan, get behind me." You know, some people don't understand that in the 16th chapter of Matthew, but Jesus had just prophesied that "I am going to be crucified, but the third day I will rise again." And Peter said, "That be far from you, Lord. We aren't going to let anybody take you." Did you know most people would think, "Well, wasn't that nice what he said?" No, it was contrary to what God had told him. It was statements of unbelief. And Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Jesus didn't want to die in the natural. And for somebody to speak something that would feed his flesh and encourage him that, "No, you don't have to do it this way. There's bound to be another way." That was unbelief. And Jesus turned right around and said, "Get behind me, Satan, because you savor not the things that be of God." Some people wonder why he was so hard with Peter. It's because those words were weapons. Those words were coming against his heart and tempting him not to fulfill what God told him to do. And he recognized that those were weapons against him and he would not accept any word contrary. Most of you won't be that strong, and that's the reason you're going to be sick. I hate to say it that way, but I'm just telling you that's the way it is. But you need to get to a place to where, praise God, you've got the word of God, and if Satan counters you, you're going to counter him. And you know what? I'm as gentle as I can be with people. If a person just barely touches me like this, I'll just barely say something. They'll say, "Take care," and I'll say, "For nothing," and that's enough, and I let it go. But if they come and say, "You're dying, aren't you worried about this?" If they push me, I'll push back with equal strength. It's just like if I'm standing here, somebody comes up and just barely bumps into me, I don't have to do much. But if they come running and try and bowl me over, man, I'll put a lot of effort into that so I can stay on my feet. I will counter the unbelief that comes at me with an equal amount of strength. I went and got a physical for my insurance. We had to have insurance on this building that we've gotten. So they sent me to the doctor to get a physical, and I did one of these treadmill tests. And in retrospect, I made a mistake because they wanted to shave the hair on my chest and put these things on me. And I said, "This is virgin hair. It's never been touched." And so anyway, I talked them out of shaving the hair on my chest. And they stuck these things on my chest. And about 12 or 13 minutes into the test, I was sweating. and these things started falling off of me. And so I was holding two of them. A nurse was holding two of them. A doctor was holding two of them. And here I was doing this treadmill test. And anyway, I had witnessed to them, told them about my son being raised from the dead and all these things. And so the doctor was looking through this paper, and I think it was 12 minutes and 32 seconds into the test, which you didn't even have to go the full 15 minutes. I went the full 15 minutes. They said you could have quit at 10. But anyway, at 12 minutes and 32 seconds, he saw something and he started grunting and, and, you know, doing all these doctor type things. And he says, man, you got a serious problem here. And he started writing out a name and an address. And he says, I want you to go straight to this doctor's office. Don't you go back to your office. You go over there. You get this tested. And says, we're going to put you in the hospital. We might do open heart surgery on you by tonight. And I just kind of stood there shaking my head for a second, trying to process all of this. And I just said, that's a lie. I don't believe that. And this doctors aren't used to having a patient tell them they lied. This doctor was just shy. He looked at me and says, what are you saying? I said, that's a lie. I don't have anything wrong with my heart. I said, you look at that piece of paper and tell me that says I've got a serious heart problem. And he said, well, it doesn't really say that. It just, you were a 100th of a point off right here. And he says, everybody's heart's different. You could be perfectly normal, but I think we ought to go check it and make sure that there isn't something wrong. And I said, that's not what you said. You said I had a serious heart problem and that I might have open heart surgery before the day is over. I said, you lied to me. You didn't say there is a possibility. And this guy started, well, I just thought it was wise that we need to check this out. I said, that's not what you said. I said, you lied to me. And man, I countered this. I said, I reject this stuff in the name of Jesus. And did you know that doctor, he finally just tore that piece of paper up and he says, you're fine, leave. And I got out of there. And did you know he flunked me and I couldn't get insurance because of that. And I had to go and there's a guy on my board who's a doctor and he put me through one of these nuclear tests where they inject you with the dye and you do this thing. And the person that gave me that test said, did you know that those treadmill tests are only right 50% of the time? Half the time they're wrong. He says, nobody should trust one of those tests. He says, this nuclear test is 99 point something percent right. And they checked me out and I have the heart of a 17-year-old. There wasn't any problem. But how many of you, if a doctor says, you're going to die, you got this, we may have to do open heart surgery. I'm just amazed at the people that go in and let a doctor just tell you stuff and you do whatever they say. I know that some of you are not liking this. But I'm telling you, this is how you're going to have to get. If you believe that what you say comes to pass, you're going to have to get to where you just don't cave at the first word that is contrary to what you're believing. You're going to have to get to where you condemn those words and you refuse to allow people to speak negative words over you. And if you aren't willing to do that, then just enjoy your sickness. Just enjoy your poverty. Just enjoy your miserableness. Because I'm telling you, this is the way you've got to be. Jesus, when somebody countered what he was believing, said, get behind me, Satan. Amen. Now, I'm not encouraging you to go out and be offensive and mean to people. I believe I probably could have dealt with my mother better than I did. But you know what? That was when I was first getting established. And when you're young, it's like a little tiny plant. It just can't withstand very much. You have to put it in a greenhouse and it needs a controlled environment to be able to grow. Once it becomes a huge oak, it might be able to withstand a hurricane and all kinds of cold weather and different extremes and stuff. But when it's young, you've got to protect it. And I was young and I had to protect that seed that God had put in me. And that's just the way I did it. It may not have been the right way, but it's the way I did it. And you know what? It worked. And my mother eventually got over it. We were best friends. Had a great time with my mother. She just died in 2009 at 96 years old. But my mother was just an awesome lady. We got along great. We got over it. But I tell you what, you've got to get to a place. It says in Romans 3:4, let God be true and every man a liar. Amen. That's the way you got to be. I think I'm supposed to be through. They're giving me a sign that says zero. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Father, I take these truths about the power of your word, the power of our words, the power of faith-filled words, and I speak them in the name of Jesus. And Father, I pray that the Holy Spirit helps people to receive these words into their heart and mix them with faith and then speak them back out of their mouth and be strong and not allow the devil to shoot all of these weapons, these negative words at us. Father, I just thank you that there's going to be a change in our lifestyle, that we will not go back into the same lifestyle we came from. That, Father, we will create a godly atmosphere with our words, faith-filled atmosphere. That we will speak the Word of God. We will mean what we say and say what we mean. And that we will have whatsoever we say. Father, we thank you for that. Thank you, Jesus. And so we receive it in the mighty name of the Lord.
This 5-part teaching series was recorded at the 2011 Grace and Faith Conference in Buxton, England. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1075 for CD or R3218 for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The fifth CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RD10 titled, Speak to the Mountain About God, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Also, be sure to check out the TV broadcast link to find out about the Gospel Truth TV program in your area. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to ask you to consider about joining with us by becoming a part of our Charis Bible College. We have a campus in Colorado Springs. That's our home campus, but we have 18 different campuses around the world with more coming online. We also have a correspondence video Bible college that you can take in your home at your own pace. And we also have an online school that you can take in a classroom setting with other people online and help you. And I tell you, this teaching would transform your life. If you'd like more information, you can call 719-635-1111, or you can go to our website at awmi.net.